Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Welcome back, you horny little rats. It's time to smut up and listen.
Just a reminder for today's episode and all future episodes, our opinions are subjective. We don't advocate for kink shaming or author shaming. This is all in good, smutty fun. Enjoy. And don't forget to check out patreon.com/smutupandlisten to listen to the r/smut podcast, where Riley and I will be doing blind reactions every Tuesday to Reddit erotica.
Welcome back, you horny little rats. It's time to smut up and listen.
Just a reminder for today's episode and all future episodes, our opinions are subjective. We don't advocate for kink shaming or author shaming. This is all in good, smutty fun. Enjoy. And don't forget to check out patreon.com/smutupandlisten to listen to the r/smut podcast, where Riley and I will be doing blind reactions every Tuesday to Reddit erotica.
Today's episode trigger warnings are somnophilia, degradation, primal play, praise, cuckolding, spit play, breath play, CNC, dubcon, play with red bodily fluid, play with sharp objects, adoptive siblings, violent acts, domestic violence, child abuse, and loss and grief.
It's just a cute little episode this week.
Good Lord. Why is an adoptive sibling a trigger warning?
You'll see.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. And then I have a cutie little Spotify comment. And this one comes from Sophia Mecklenburg. And it says, "You guys are amazing. Every day I listen to this podcast and every day I struggle stopping more and more. You guys never fail to entertain me. With love, you horny little rats."
Aww, thank you.
That was so nice, Sophia.
And this week we're telling Riley all about Original Sin by Mila Crawford. And how many stars did you guys give it on Goodreads?
Oh, we have some smiles. What's happening?
I gave it a 3-star, and I normally like dark romances, maybe not as much as other people. But this one, there's a couple like plot holes in it, and it seemed more bully dark romance to me instead of just normal dark romance. And I don't like bully romances, so.
Is bully romance, I mean, this sounds like a stupid fucking question, but is that kind of like where the man is just like
a straight up
very
bully?
Mean? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. That, I don't even know why I had to ask the question.
That was a good question. Some people might not know.
I think this is actually going to be really surprising to you guys, but I still can't read it. I don't know, but I didn't like it.
Really?
Wow.
See, if Jenna didn't like it, I'm onto something.
Yeah, I had issues with it. If I was not reading this for the podcast, I would have completely not finished it.
Same.
Oh, really get the people into it.
I gave it a 3.5. It was all right. I mean, it was entertaining for me. I flipped the pages. I read the book. I didn't hate it.
Really just gripping the people, getting them into it.
So this is the prologue. Our FMC, her name is Caitlin, aka Cat, and she's currently on the beach with blood, tears, and ocean water on her. She's running from her abusive husband, Eddie, and he hates her so much because he knows she loves someone else and she'll never give him the affection that he wants. He catches her, slams her into the ground, and spits on her face and starts rubbing himself all over her like the piece of shit he is. We're starting off strong here.
Like he's like dry humping her?
Yeah, pretty much. And he's like, blech. Pulls out his cock and yeah, he's just nasty. Because he can't get her to come, obviously, because he's like pretty much sexually assaulting her, he prompts her to rub her clit to make herself come. She starts to obey, but then she's flooded with memories of her on this beach before as a teenager. She's with Heath, smiling, and that was the strength that she needed to try to slap him and spit in his face. A lot of spitting going on. He retaliates and he continues to very aggressively assault her. Once he's finished, he tells her the next time he catches her looking at those pictures, he will burn the whole house down. She's laying in the fetal position on the beach after the assault, and she has another flashback of a memory of her and Heath running and playing on the beach. Heath is Kat's best friend. His mother is their maid and nanny. And they moved there once Kat's mother passed away and Mr. Shaw needed help. And he's been living at the Wainscott Hollow Estate ever since. Part of her flashback is a memory of her horrible older brother, Henry. He's attacking them when they were at the beach together before, and Henry held Heath underwater, knowing that he can't swim. He only let up when Kat jumps on Henry to get him off, like, otherwise he was pretty much just going to keep him there.
Jesus, that's murder.
Yeah, so that was the whole prologue. I was like, it's going to be like that, is it?
Oh, it is.
Oh, yeah. This is the first chapter. Heath's mom passed away, and apparently she fell, and that's what caused her untimely demise. Mr. Shaw paid for a beautiful service, and they ended up burying her right next to Mrs. Shaw. Mr. Shaw pays for Heath's schooling now, and now that his mom is gone, he doesn't know what he's going to do. Surely he'll have to go back to Bronx and figure out where and how to live as an orphan. Henry, the horrific brother, is completely smug that Heath is in mourning, and he refused to help carry the casket by saying that they don't owe servants more than well-wishing bouquet when they die. When Mr. Shaw calls Heath into the office, Heath is surprised that Mr. Shaw isn't sending him away. Instead, he stated that he would like to adopt Heath, stating that he always wanted a son like him, brave, strong, and someone who isn't afraid to work. Going forward, Heath will be Mr. Shaw's son and get all the privileges that come along with that title. Of course, Kat is ecstatic, but later, Henry finds him and told him that his dad will get sick of him soon and put him back on the streets. And then he starts baiting him more by talking bad about Kat. Heath just lunges for Henry. They get in a fistfight in the kitchen until Mr. Shaw breaks him up and Henry just smiles. As punishment, Mr. Shaw whipped Henry with a belt 5 times on his back while Heath just got a freebie because Mr. Shaw said that maybe the funeral was triggering for him. Once he gets to his room, he sobs and Kat vows that they'll always have each other and nothing will ever tear them apart. Heath and Kat take a break from fishing and they're on top of the cliff they like occasionally jump off of. Kat is tracing the cliff's edge when a gun goes off. It scares her and she flies into the water and they are met with Henry and his stupid friends that are now breaking their fishing poles and dumping out their bait.
Wow. Fuck Henry.
For real.
Yeah, he's horrible.
Kat gets pissed and starts walking towards her brother when Henry says that Heath is a leech and a loser and they'll never get rid of his stench out of Wainscott Hollow. One of Henry's friends, Eddie, tells him it's not cool to mess with his sister like this and that they should just go. Henry is horrible and he turns on Eddie and starts beating the living shit out of him. He breaks his nose and then keeps beating him until he pretty much goes unconscious and then he just leaves his bloody friend with Kat and Heath.
That's so fucked up.
When Eddie doesn't gain consciousness, they realize that they have to call an ambulance. So they do that and once he's on his way to the hospital, they head home. Mr. Shaw was already waiting for them, pissed beyond relief because, of course, Henry got to his dad first and blamed it all on Heath. He demands Kat to go to her room while he deals with them. Mr. Shaw takes the belt to Heath, scarred back over and over again, and just as he's about to vomit from the pain, he sees Henry out of the corner of his eyes watching and smiling. As soon as he's in his room, he passes out and he wakes up to screaming. Kat's there and tells him that Eddie's parents called once he woke up and told Mr. Shaw what happened, and now it's Henry who's getting punished and screaming out in pain. For a second, Heath wondered if he should stop it, but Kat tells him not to because Henry is getting what he deserves. Life goes on as Heath and Kat avoid Henry as much as possible. Today, Henry graduates high school, and now Kat and Heath are sophomores. They have an award ceremony with the graduation, and Heath gets awarded highest honors, and Kat gets a prize for her science project. Mr. Shaw tells him how extremely proud of both of them he is, and when it's Henry's turn to get his diploma, he jumps up and tears down the congrats grad banner, just, of course, always being a piece of shit and reaping havoc anywhere he goes. After the graduation and ceremony, Heath and Kat go to the dance floor, and there's a little boy who asks them if they were together, and Heath made a joke about him being a frog prince. The little boy asks if he turns into a frog when she kisses him, and Kat grabs both sides of his face and gives him a smooch, and the whole world stops. He literally envisions every single moment and memory they've had together and knew then and there that she was his soulmate. It's been 4 years since his mom passed away and Mr. Shaw adopted him. Now, Mr. Shaw has passed away too. While they were in school, he was laying face down in his closet, apparently suffering from cardiac arrest, while Henry was home and did nothing. It was Kat who found him after she got home from school. He just like chilled all day while his dad was just like dead in their house. Like a weirdo.
Oh, God.
Don't worry, he gets worse though.
Ugh. They're, of course, mourning, but also terrified because that means that Henry will be in charge and basically head of the household. As if she didn't hate her brother enough before, she hates Henry even more because Mr. Shaw's wishes were always to be buried with his wife. And as soon as he passed, Henry got him cremated right away and wouldn't even let Kat spread his ashes. He insisted that he sits on top of the fireplace like a trophy. The lawyers are at the estate now, ready to read the will, and every single thing is passed to Henry. Kat gets $1 million in a trust fund that she can access when she turns 25, and I believe she's 17 here. And Heath is left with $500,000 worth of liquid assets that he can access within a week. And last but not least, now that Mr. Shaw has passed, the legal guardianship of Kat will now fall to Henry. Later in the day, Henry tells Kat, now that he's in charge, they need to address her weight. He tells her her tits are too huge and indecent. Her ass is so fat, people stare at it like she was in a bad accident, and this is not the look of a Shaw. He even thought about getting her tits reduced, and he calls her a fat pig.
What the fuck?
He's fucking horrible.
Ugh.
Heath snaps and he holds Henry in the air, giving him a piece of his mind. He said Kat is beautiful and that he shouldn't be looking at her body, let alone talking about it. And if he catches him insulting her again, he will fucking castrate him.
Yeah.
That night, Heath walks out to the dunes alone to say goodbye to Mr. Shaw. And he comes back into the house to the sound of Kat screaming. He gets into the room and finds her half naked, pinned up against the wall. And Henry's taking pictures of her. He's pissed drunk and yells at Kat, says that he wants a before and after picture. Kat gets out of his grip and begs Heath not to hurt him because it will only make things worse in the morning. And then Henry trips and falls face first on the ground before passing out drunk and snoring. They go to Heath's room, which is not like in the main house. He like has like a little property off the side of the house. So they get to his room and they lock the doors. Once they're safe, Kat throws herself in his arms and he can't help himself. He kisses her. Heath is now 18 and they're seniors in high school and he's completely and irrevocably in love with Kat. They love each other in secret though because they're technically siblings since he was adopted.
Yeah.
They slip in and out of each other's bedrooms, pretend to be friends all day at school, but at lunch they slip into the locker rooms and make out passionately.
Ooh.
One day she heard from someone in school that Henry's having a party at her house with all of his friends that are home from college. They're obviously dreading it because now instead of having one drunk asshole to deal with, it'll be a dozen. Heath tells Kat that he phoned in a favor and has a surprise for her later tonight. They get back to the house and are greeted with tension from Henry and all of his friends, all except Eddie Lind, the only one nice enough to say hi to them. Eddie asks if they want a drink to catch up and he starts saying no because like why would they want to talk to any of them? But Kat cuts in, says yes. Heath is watching her talk to Eddie and he realizes that she's almost flirting with him and it makes his blood boil with jealousy. Kat is still a virgin and the thought of anyone touching her besides him makes him slam his drink and go upstairs to shower. Once he's out, he lays on his bed and starts beating the meat when Eddie and Kat walk in. Eddie, of course, is like, oh shit, sorry, man. And Kat just continues walking in the room like it's no big deal. Eddie tells him that he brought him what he asked for.
Eddie's like, isn't that your brother?
Yeah. He's like, eh, don't mind me, bro.
It's okay. I've seen it before.
He does this all the time. Eddie tells him that he brought him what he asked for and then gave him a big lighter. Heath asked Eddie why he's so nice to them and still hangs out with Henry even though he broke his nose. And Eddie said maybe he wanted to come there to see them. They get to the beach and Heath sets up tea light candle lights for her. He made Kat a cute candlelight picnic on the beach because he hates hiding her from the world since they can't be together. And he wanted to show her that she deserves to be treated like the queen she is and that he loves her. She vows she loves him too and has no idea what she would ever do without him.
They're drinking champagne on the beach and kissing, and she nervously asks him to be her first. He asks if she's sure, and she says yes because she loves him, and she admits that she touches herself to the thought of him. He continues kissing her and takes the top part of her dress off, kissing down her stomach, and she undoes his pants.
I gasp and bite my lip at the sheer size of him. He's so big and long, so thick it's hard to wrap my hand all the way around him. When I touch him there, his gaze hardens, and he goes from looking moonstruck to insanely determined. Wetness gushes between my legs, and I'm almost ashamed of how much my body needs him.
Fuck him.
A gusher.
She's just a gusher.
Yeah. She guides him to her entrance and tells him that she is on birth control and she's ready for this. So he moves her panties to the side and enters her in one gentle thrust and then pauses so she can adjust. He tells her how much he loves her as he fucks her until they both come and then they sleep out on the beach under the stars for the night.
Yeah, that's a good first time.
Yeah, with your brother.
Yeah.
What more could you ask perfect. For?
Champagne, tea lights.
Your brother.
It's graduation day and they have have no family there to celebrate other than themselves. They eat the barbecue with all their classmates overlooking the ocean, and then Heath gets bit by something on his leg, and Kat goes underneath the table in the tablecloth to grab the bug that bit him.
She said, "Give me that bug."
Yeah. She tells him that it looks like it might be a brown recluse, but she'll check her field book for it later. And he's like, "It's fine. It's not a big deal." So they dance and they kiss because they don't have to keep up their sibling appearance anymore now that they're graduated.
I mean, they kind of do.
I mean, yeah, they'd think they don't.
Why don't they just tell everyone, hey, his mom died. He needed a legal guardian.
Everyone knows.
Yeah. We're not like really brother and sister. He does not call my dad dad. Like, come on.
The last thing he remembers is Kat driving him to the hospital because it was in fact a brown recluse, and he immediately started reacting to the poison.
Yeah, can't you die from this?
Yeah. He tries to tell her not to worry about him and thinks about how lucky he is to have her, and then he passes out. He wakes up later in a hospital room, pulling a tube from his neck and pleading to see Kat. The nurse tells him she should be there around 4 p.m. like she's done every day since June. It's now November.
Holy fuck.
He learns they were able to save his leg where the bite was, and the nurse shows him. It's in a state of necrosis, and he wants to vomit. The nurse tells him he will be there for a long road of healing, and then Kat comes in. Immediately, he feels that something has shifted between them, like something feels wrong. And when he goes to apologize, she tells him that too much has changed and it's a good idea he doesn't come back home after he heals.
Okay. That's kind of fucked up.
She tells him that they're better off as siblings and to just take his money from her dad, and he is absolutely heartbroken. But she shatters him even more when he learns that she has used her part of the money to keep him in a 5-star hospital. But now that he's awake, she's like, "You gotta go. I'm not gonna keep paying for this."
What the fuck?
"And I never really loved you." And she leaves.
What the fuck? Something's telling her to do this, I feel like.
A month later, he's out of the hospital and goes to pack his 2 suitcases full of stuff. That's all he has. And he leaves. We fast forward. It's 5 years later, and he's back at Wainscott Hollow. He's back with everything he thinks she needed. He left, built an empire, and is now richer than her father ever was, with only one goal in mind. Her. He also bought all of the properties and everything they own so he can rub it in Henry's face. So he owns their house now.
He said, "That's mine. Get out."
As he walks on the beach to go to the house, he sees a man on top of a woman, and then he hears the voice. It's Kat, and he takes off running. Once he reaches them, he throws the man on the ground and sees that it's Eddie Lind, and he beats the shit out of him.
Oh no.
Kat pulls Heath off of Eddie, and Heath wishes that he can kill him. And then he pulls a knife on Eddie.
Eddie's pants are still down around his ankles, his feet restricted. I flip him over. "Get on your knees, Eddie." He doesn't move. He's frozen. "Don't worry, Eddie. I'm not a complete monster. I'll use lube."
He's like, "You're my bitch now.
Raw dog it. Don't use lube."
He cuts Eddie's back and uses his blood as lube and shoves the handle of the blade where the sun doesn't shine.
Okay, the handle. That's not as bad.
It's just the handle. It's fine.
With his own blood as lube, it's okay.
That's, oh God.
He said he would use lube.
I think it was just weird for me because, like, prior to this point in the book, like, before he came back 5 years ago, Heath was, like, the green flag.
The sweetest.
Like, he was such a green flag. And then all of a sudden, he's just like, "I'm gonna fuck you with the end of a blade."
Kat broke him, and now he's a bad boy. He's a hardened man. He fucks men with knife handles.
Kat knows she should be mortified, but she can't believe that Heath is actually back. She begs him to stop, only because he's hurting his hand by holding the blade. And then she looks at Eddie.
Eddie's body is slumped, and his previously flaccid cock has risen. Oh, so is Eddie like, oh.
He's like, "That's where my G-spot is?"
Yeah. Oh, no. He said, "Actually, cut me again. Get out of here, woman.
This is between me and Heath."
He says, "Go deeper, Heath. That's fine."
A little to the left.
Yeah.
Heath tries to make some digs at her, but she knows if he really knew how her life was, he would be absolutely shocked. She tells him that he should leave so they don't ruin his life. So Heath removes his knife and stalks towards her, roughly caressing her face. He tells her he's not a scared little boy anymore.
Heath tugs at my lower lip and moves in until I feel his halted breath on my cheek. Being this close to him makes my heart accelerate to full speed. His scent, the feel of his rough skin. Before I can react and push him away, his mouth is on mine in a collision of explosive passion. His teeth gently graze my lips before he sinks them into my flesh, and the metallic taste of the blood invades my mouth.
bites her lip off.
Yeah. He can't believe that he kissed her because that was not part of his plan, but he couldn't help himself. He leaves her with Eddie and she runs after him asking why he's back, and he tells her to take back what's his.
You're mine. Yeah, get your girl.
Heath enters the house the next day and drunk Henry demands to know who he is. Henry looks like absolute garbage. He's aged like 50 years in the last five because of all of his drinking. And Heath just laughs and says, it looks like Henry's the gutter rat now. And then Henry tries to attack him, but falls down the stairs.
Idiot.
Heath does not help him up, but he does let him know that the house and every single property is now his. Henry tries to shoo him away, so Heath resorts to violence and breaks Henry's hand by stepping on it. Henry vomits as Heath tells him he's sending him to a psychiatric hospital. Heath really likes his knife, so he pulls out his hunting blade and cuts Henry from the corner of his eye to his mouth as a reminder for all the times that he was shitty in the past.
He's so extreme now.
Cat broke him.
Henry pisses himself and Heath tells him that he's gonna get going. He doesn't care if he doesn't have family or money, but he needs to leave his property now.
How the turntables.
Oh yeah. The rest of the manor is in shambles, but Kat's room is perfectly preserved to how it looked in high school, and he's like, what the fuck? It's the only room in the house that's not, like, absolutely destroyed. And since he's in there, he smells her clothes, takes a couple of her panties, and then goes on a walk.
As one does.
As one does. He walks on the beach until he reaches Eddie's house and walks right into the yard. He sees Kat in the window, and as he watches her, he pulls out her underwear and starts, like, sniffing them.
I unzip my ocean-battered pants and unleash my throbbing cock, her panties wrapped around my fist as I stroke my massive erection that only responds to her. My massive erection.
He's humble.
I know. I imagine her laying down for me on her marital bed, thick legs spread, her body shaking with lust as my tongue dips in her sweet cunt, tasting her honey, devouring her sex like it's my last damn meal, sucking and licking until she can't take any more.
She spots him in her yard jerking off, and instead of running away or calling for Eddie, she gets butt naked.
Oh, she says, okay, two can do this.
He continues to jerk off and thinks about making her, and this is his words, not mine, his whore and his queen.
Oh.
He watches her as she runs her hands down her body to start touching herself, and then both of them somehow come at the same time.
Divine timing.
Kat is walking the beach and decides to walk into the tide like she has many times before, only this time she steps into a drop-off.
Oh, fuck. You're just like, ooh.
Oopsie.
The tide pulls her, but she doesn't panic, and she's, like, content to let the ocean take her, when all of a sudden Heath is pulling her out, calling her a crazy bitch for trying to leave him again. He picks her up and he takes her home to Wainscott Manor. He takes her to her old room, and she tries to touch him, but he stops her. Then he sees that she's wearing his mom's locket and asks what kind of game she's playing. She tells him that she's never taken it off, and he calls her a liar.
I grasp her throat with one hand while I tug down my wet pants with the other to unleash my cock. Why don't you put that smart mouth of yours to use for something other than spewing bullshit? He's like such a bad boy now.
He calls her a whore and pulls out some cash, asking if it's enough to cover a blowjob. She tells him to fuck off, and then he grabs her neck, bringing her down to his dick and forces it into her mouth.
I don't know if I expect a fight, but what I don't expect is an incredible fucking blowjob. Kat sucks with a hunger unlike anything I've ever known, swallowing the length of me down like a porn star pro. She gags on my length but doesn't back up, bobbing up and down until strings of saliva slide down her chin. I could bust a nut from a single touch. And I did not expect this level of expertise. Okay.
Porn star bro.
Such a bro. Such a bro.
I could just bust a nut with one touch.
He gets a bit more brutal and violent, and then he thinks of the way Eddie was assaulting her on the beach.
She confesses to him that Henry said he'd kill Heath if he didn't get him to leave, and then she books it out of the house. So that's why she was like, I never loved you. Because she was trying to save his life.
Yeah.
Heath chases after her but falls down the stairs, and Henry is down on the front porch all stinky and fucked up.
All stinky and fucked up.
He is. She runs all the way to her house, and a wine-drunk Eddie demands to know where the fuck she was. So if I don't remember if it was mentioned or not, but she is married to Eddie.
Okay. And he's also fucked up? Like, he's a fucked up dude?
Yeah.
Huh.
They're all fucked up. She ignores him and goes upstairs to take a sleeping pill and sleep off her turmoil. Meanwhile, Heath is on his way over with a shovel to claim what's his.
He said, come here, Eddie. I'm gonna fuck you up.
He barges in and confronts drunk-ass Eddie, who is like, get the fuck out of here. Nobody wants trash like you around.
That's not what you thought when I fucked your ass with the knife. As I recall, your little dick got hard and you moaned for more. That was the high from my fucking wife. You remember, don't you? She's got the tightest cunt around. Wet and warm. She can't get enough of my cock. Ugh, men.
Yeah.
Your little dick.
He's like, I'm the only one with a big dick around here.
Your little pee-pee. Saw it get hard.
Heath charges Eddie and pummels his face, and he tells him that if Eddie ever touches her again, he'll kill him and slice up his body, and then he'll fuck his previous wife while his body rots.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Also, obviously, Eddie is a giant piece of shit, but imagine a man from your wife's past coming back and being like, if you ever touch her, I'm gonna fucking kill you.
And then fuck her afterwards.
Yeah. And be like, that's my wife. Oh, that is my wife. We're married. She's legally mine.
She's my property.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply. Eddie is unconscious now, and Heath drags his body upstairs to where Kat is sleeping. He gets hard seeing that her tits are completely hanging out, which I'd be so embarrassed.
Yeah, because I'm sure they're not just nice, perky, just sitting there. No. They're like,
yeah, flopped out.
Flopped out.
He flings a bleeding Eddie into the bed next to Kat.
What is he gonna do? The sheets rustle as Kat moves in her sleep, exposing more of her flesh. My fingers trail up her calves to the junction at her thighs. She adjusts herself in her sleep and bends her knee, exposing herself fully to me as if she's offering me access to Heaven's Gate. Her pussy, perfect, pretty, and pink. I unleash my throbbing hard cock from my pants, gripping it as I watch my angel sleep. What is with him saying, like, I unleash my throbbing cock?
It's monstrous. He has to unleash the monster dick.
Yeah.
She's like dead asleep, right? And then she like opens her legs. He's like, that was for me. Excuse me, what? She's unconscious right now.
She's asleep. She literally took a sleeping pill.
He's like, she must want it.
Her pussy is speaking to me.
He rubs his dick against her nipples and then pulls her nightgown up and starts to run it along her slit.
She shivers when I glide my thumb along her slit and moans as soon as I connect with her clit. Penetration with one slick finger, and my beautiful angel opens her legs wide for me. My pretty girl's always wet and ready for me. The need to taste her cunt consumes me, and I suck her juices from my finger like a man quenching his thirst in the desert. Fuck. After one quick tug of her nipples between my teeth, her chest heaves and she practically feeds her tits to me. I suck both nipples gently until they peak and then lick my way down to her navel and eventually to her perfect pussy. Scissoring my fingers, I spread her labia wide until she's completely open before me. I can see the slickness of her arousal, how it shines on the gorgeous pink skin, and I inhale deeply, savoring her delicate musk. Oh my god. The action of him scissoring his fingers to be like, ooh, open up. I don't know if I like that.
I don't.
He starts eating her out, getting lost in the act of tasting her after so many years. But meanwhile, Kat thinks she's having a crazy, realistic, ambient sex dream about Heath, and she comes in her sleep and then mumbles for him to fuck her.
Oh.
She hears him laugh, and her eyes fly open, and she's like, oh shit, this is real. And then she realizes that he's tied her up.
Oh. Like, it would be totally fine if it was, like, discussed beforehand.
It was, in fact, not.
Yeah, she's just getting essayed left and right.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I just feel like he literally, like, grew up with her. Like, they had pretty much the same childhood. Why would you want to cause more trauma to someone like that? It's just like, my brain can't comprehend
it. Because she hurt him.
Yeah, she hurt his heart, but that doesn't mean you sexually assault her. She looks over to see a loudly snoring Eddie next to her, who is also tied up at this point.
Oh.
She tries to call for help, but Heath is just like, you're in the devil's lair. Nobody's gonna help you. Now come for me.
I would be like, oh my god, my pussy's dry.
Not hers.
Let me see your pussy sing for your brother like a good girl. Don't say it like that. He says before plunging his thick tongue inside me again. Then he sucks my clit into his mouth and penetrates me with devilish fingers that hook and skim my G-spot until I see stars. I come harder than I ever have in my life, each cell screaming with terror and a ravenous want. I cry out with the orgasm as black fear and a red-hot passion fuse and tangle inside me. It's a pleasurable anguish, an enraptured torment. I ride the stranger's mouth and hand like a woman undone, gone mad with all-consuming crazed lust. It's not a stranger.
It's your brother.
Your brother. Yeah, you know him.
Then Eddie wakes up and is like, Kat, what the fuck? But Kat is still coming and is like, oh my god, as she grinds into Heath's face. Like, she's just like, oh my god, Eddie!
She's like, shut up, Eddie!
You're ruining it.
A wild slap resounds against my naked pussy. There's no god here to help you, princess, but the devil will gladly make you come again. The dark shadow writes himself and grins. It's Heath, his mouth slick with my arousal, his erection immense and spotlighted in the moonlight, the colossal helmeted tip pearlized with his cum. Helmeted? I fucking hate that.
Colossal.
I'm just picturing a big old fat tip. Gross. Hey, Eddie, he rasps. I didn't invite you to my party. I doubt you've ever been man enough to make her come like that. You see how wet she is for me? He wipes his lips like he's just savored a watermelon. That's what a real man can do. It's too bad you've never been more than a sniveling little boy.
Then Heath grabs Kat's hair and shoves her face into his erection and tells her to show Eddie how much she craves his cock when she can't stand her own husband's.
Heath maneuvers my head in his big palm and plunges his raging cock into my eager mouth. I suck like a porn star, hungry for his erection, reckless with need. He gags me with his monstrous hard-on, and I choke on it gladly until the saliva at the back of my throat begins to spill between us. Such a good cock whore, baby. Heath praises me. Look at her taking my cock, Eddie. How eager she is to be my slut. That's right. Gag it all down for daddy. Out of the corner of my eye, I watch my husband's erection grow huge and grotesque. Ew. Like a pillar between his legs. He jerks and bucks in need, unable to pleasure himself or get friction on his cock. Eddie likes it, Heath says. He pulls at my head, brutally fucking my mouth like a barbarian, and I love every second of it. I want to swallow his cum, drink it down in front of Eddie. Good grief.
Heath reaches under her nightgown and feels how wet she is and tells her he's fucking her pussy next. Kat looks over at Eddie, who is groaning, obviously super turned on, and Kat comes again. Heath flips Kat around so she's on all fours facing Eddie and then slams into her. So he's like, make eye contact.
Look at your husband. I'm putting you this way, Kat, so you can torture him if you want to. If you want to jerk him off, go ahead. If you think he deserves your sweet lips around his cock, do it. Bite his cock off if you feel like it. I think I'd like you taking his pathetic excuse for a dick off with your teeth. His voice comes measured and choppy as he thrusts into me hard enough to make all my flesh reverberate with his pounding. Oh fuck, Kat, please. Eddie pleads. He thinks he's won the lottery, that I'm about to give him a $1 million blowjob like the one I just gave Heath. Fuck you, I hiss. Baby, you're so tight, so fucking soft, so perfect. My cock fits so perfectly in your sweet cunt as if you were made for me. Heath coos as he fucks me. This ass, this wet pussy. Eddie, how does it feel to know she's never creamed for you the way she does for me? Ugh. Do you hear her scream? Do you know how much she wants me?
Ew, cream.
Eddie starts begging Heath to let him fuck something. Her mouth, her ass. He'll even take Heath's ass at this point.
Eddie, let's be honest. If anyone is taking anyone's ass tonight, it would be me taking yours. You exude bottom energy. I mean, look at that tiny pecker. Can you even make a woman come with that thing? How about you just fucking watch, I yell. My voice falters because I'm coming again, falling apart on Heath's erection. My pussy clenching and milking his cock like a hand. I'm gonna come inside you, baby, Heath croons. I'm going to fill her pussy with cum, Eddie. So full that she'll be dripping with it. Maybe if you're a good boy and beg, she'll let some drip into your bitch mouth so you can taste how good we are together. You're so good, so fucking perfect. Heath moans as his orgasm escapes him. His hot seed unloads inside me as he spurts ribbons of cum and jerks with every wave of pleasure that rakes through him. Look at my little sister, Eddie. Look at her taking her brother's cum. Ugh.
Don't
say it like that. Now Eddie is full on pleading for literally anybody to touch his dick. So Heath is like, fine, okay, and lights up a cigarette and tells Eddie to open his mouth and stick out his tongue. Heath acts like he's going to put his dick in Eddie's mouth, but puts the cigarette out on his tongue instead and says, how about a hand job instead, and punches him in the balls.
Nice. Get him.
Then Heath pulls out a blade and makes a superficial cut along her skin and draws his initials on her with the blood, telling her he's never letting her go again.
Oh, cute.
Romantic.
What the fuck happened in those 5 years?
I know. What did you do?
What did you see? What did you do? What happened to you?
He brings the blade to my sex. Push some of that cum out for me, baby. I flex, and our mingled arousal drips and clouds his sharp blade. He lifts the knife, a vicious smile crossing his face, one that even frightens me. Open your mouth, Eddie. Heath, come on, man. Eddie protests, thrashing in his restraints. Heath ignores him and plugs Eddie's nostrils until his mouth opens and he gasps for breath. With a single flick, Eddie slashes the blade from one side of Eddie's mouth to the other, tearing his face into a wide, bloody, and grotesque Joker smile.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Rough.
Eddie's tongue flops onto the floor, and Eddie is crying. And then Heath stabs him in the dick.
Oh my god. Just kill him.
Then Heath grabs Eddie's gun from the nightstand and holds it to his head, telling him to apologize to Kat for being such a piece of shit, or I'll shoot his dick off. Eddie tries to, but can't, obviously, because he doesn't have a tongue. So Heath puts the gun into Eddie's mouth and tells him to blow the gun and pretend it's his cock. But Eddie's panicking and shaking, so Heath just blows his head off.
Oh my god.
Yeah. What a way to die.
Yeah.
They couldn't even let him finish or anything first. Like,
no. He rolls Eddie's corpse up in the sheets and tells Kat to change and go order food at a nearby diner to establish an alibi while he dumps the body. He has one of his henchmen meet him with a boat, and they dump the body and the gun into the ocean, and now he wants to go back and get his girl. But when he gets back, there's music blaring and the bedroom is stripped and empty. And he's like, if she ran out on me, I'll have to kill her. Which,
okay.
Okay.
I mean, I don't think you have to.
And he's like, I have to. My hands would be tight.
Literally no other option.
But then he gets a text from her, and it's a blurry picture of a clown and a sign for Coney Island. And then he's like, it's fucking Henry. And now Henry has to die.
Oh, yeah. He can die.
Meanwhile, Kat has been drugged and kidnapped by her very own brother, her blood brother.
Her real brother.
She wakes up on the subway next to Henry, and he tells her he's getting her away from Heath and Eddie is dead. Henry tells her Heath took everything from him and now he's going to return the favor, just like he did with Heath's mom and their own mother. So Henry killed both of their moms.
Yeah, he admits
what it. What the fuck?
Yeah.
And he tells Kat that if they don't get a mother, neither will Heath. So
no one gets a mom.
No moms.
He's like reverse Oprah. You don't get a mom and you don't get a mom.
No moms.
They get off at their stop and they're at Coney Island, and Henry pushes her toward the beach and says he wants her to fuck him on the shore just like she did with Heath. A little sibling bonding time.
Ew.
Delusional.
Yeah.
He tells her if she screams, he'll slit her throat and that she belongs to him. She vomits on the ground and Henry is just spewing hateful shit about her, about like how she's gross and fat and that she should be thanking him for sharing his cum with her. Disgusting.
Yeah, he's disgusting.
Ew.
He handcuffs her to him and pulls out a bottle of vodka, saying he's gonna disinfect her pussy because she let that dirty thief in. As a matter of fact, if any guys walk by the boardwalk, maybe he'll let them have a turn. And they pass a homeless man, and he tries to offer Kat up to him and says the guy can even piss in her mouth if he wants, but the man is too fucked up to do anything, so Henry just keeps dragging her. That's when she slips out her phone and sends a covert picture of her surroundings to Heath. So that's the text that Heath got. Now Heath is speeding as fast as he can on his Ducati.
On his Ducati.
And calls for backup on the way. He gets to the clown from the picture and he's calling out for Kat and Henry. He finds a homeless camp and one of the guys points him in the direction that they went. When he finds them, he stabs the shit out of Henry and just starts slowly torturing him. Kat stops him and tells him to focus on her. She doesn't want him to lose himself to rage, which arguably he already has multiple times.
He literally just blew some guy's head off, but yeah, sure.
I was gonna say, ma'am, he just killed somebody in front of you.
She says Henry's already basically basically dead. Just be with her right now. And he's like, I can't promise I'll be gentle. And she's like, I don't care. Use my body to calm down. Take me. She tells him she loves him and she wants the pain that he gives her. She's still handcuffed to Henry. And now they're making out in a puddle of Henry's blood. He chokes her out while he bites her breasts hard enough to draw blood.
I yank down her jeans and cup her panty-clad pussy, pushing the fabric into her slick slit. Already wet for me, princess, aren't you? Moving down her body, I leave a trail of teeth marks on her skin, one on each breast and between them. On the left side of her stomach, then the right, until my eyes feast on her pussy. She moans when I lick her through her panties. Aren't you a horny little slut? Are you hoping your brother will get you off while covered in your other brother's blood? Is that what you want? Stop! Saying it like that. He's like, how uncomfortable can I make you?
Heath stabs his blade through Henry's hand and saws it off to separate Kat from him. And now Kat is freaking out, but it has to be done.
There's no other way.
There's no key or anything.
No, surely not. Heath stabs and stabs until he's able to twist the hand all the way around and pop it off. He starts going down on her and asks her whose pussy this is. And she tells him it's his. But he's like, then why did you give it to someone else? And she's like, because I had to.
She's like, why don't you ever ask me what happened in the last 5 years? Why aren't you asking me?
Yeah.
She's like, you're just assuming I had this great life.
Yeah, her life sounds terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now he's mad again and grabs her by the throat and just slams into her.
He presents his fingers to me and forces them into my mouth. 3 fingers deep. He pushes farther until I gag. I'm going to fuck this pretty throat, Kat. Own every fucking hole. Not something a loving brother should do, is it? Sick and twisted. And you know what, Kat? I don't give a fuck. I don't care about morals or decorum. All I care about is fucking you like the animal you turned me into. Good thing you have an owner, Kat. A man who loves to degrade you while still worshipping at your altar. He slaps my face. Open that mouth, cunt.
Oh my god. That's fighting words.
My lips fall open and Heath spits in my mouth. I swallow and he does it again. I never said you could swallow. Stick out your tongue. His fingers pull at the sides of my face, stretching my lips. Pretty girl. Who knew being treated like this would make you so wet? You hear your pussy, baby? How wet it gets from being humiliated by me? The rich girl, slumming it like a common streetwalker. Spit trails from his mouth to mine. So fucking beautiful. He laughs maniacally, letting go of my lips and slapping my face. He thrusts in me, one hand moving down to my clit, his fingers thrumming. Oh God, I'm going to come, I shout. Henry groans and exhales a rattle. Not God, baby. Gods don't fuck like this. God could never have your cunt gushing like this. I want you to know who's fucking you. I want you to call out to the devil when my cock is deep in your sweet pussy. I want you to say my name.
Satan.
He fucks her hard and then comes. He feels guilty immediately and says he's sorry and that he loves her. And she's like, that's how I need it now. I've been through a lot. And then Heath hears Henry's angry voice calling Kat a whore and everything goes black. He wakes up in a hospital and the guy who helped him dump Eddie's body tells him Henry is dead and everything is covered up and taken care of, but Kat is unconscious. They call Heath in when she wakes up and he goes to her and confesses his undying love. She says it back and they kiss and make promises for the future.
Okay.
We're in the epilogue and it's been 6 years. They've been married for 5. He bought them a cabin with 5 acres of land. They decide to use the privacy for some kinky hide and seek in the woods, but obviously Heath catches her and now he gets to fuck her.
Look at you, pretty girl on your knees, my perfect slut. Tell me what you want, Kat. She moves her hands up my legs, gliding her fingers to my belt buckle. I'm just gonna take it. In a flash, I grab both her wrists, banging her against the trunk of a large oak. You can only have it once you give me what I want, princess. Tell daddy what a dirty slut you are. How your pussy is soaked, thinking about my cock filling it. Beg for me to use you like a fuck toy. I'm not wet, she says, eyes defiant. Bringing my hand to the seam of her yoga pants, I yank them, causing a tear in the center that exposes her pussy to me. I graze my knuckles along her slick center. What do we have here, princess? I'm sorry. I said that. What do we have here, princess? Looks like your hungry cunt is already dripping for me.
He tells her that bad girls have to get on their knees and crawl with their tongues out, and she does as she's told.
I pet her hair, admiring her sweet and innocent face. You like being my whore, don't you, Kat? You like being daddy's plaything. Yes, she whispers. take out my cock, cat. Show me how much you want to be mine by letting me fuck that pretty little mouth of yours. Her hands work my belt buckle frantically before she unzips my pants. A hiss escapes my lips as soon as her soft, delicate hands find their grip on my thick, engorged cock. Ready to choke on my cock, baby?
Now he comes down her throat and he tells her it's his turn to eat.
Fuck, I growl, driving my tongue into her wet hole, fucking her with it. Hold on tight with your thighs, sweetheart. I hold her firm with one hand on her ass while my other hand moves to her engorged clit, massaging her. Oh God, God can't do this, sweetheart. I murmur into her pussy. This is the devil's tongue. She giggles. You're so fucking cocky. I pinch her clit and she screams. I know, baby. And you take all 10 inches so well. Oh my God.
She comes on his tongue and he pulls out a bottle of lube.
Who said we're done, sweetheart? Her eyes move down to my cock and her eyes go wide. Finger my cunt for me. I want all four of your fingers in there. Stretch it nice and wide for me while I stretch your tight little asshole. I rub my cock as I watch Kat's pussy swallow up her fingers. She moans, her legs shake, and her ass looks so damn inviting. She shivers as I pour the cold lube along her crack, massaging it into her anus with my thumb before moving it in slowly. Anus? You're doing so well, pretty girl. She screams with pleasure as the tip of my cock penetrates her ass and I slowly work my way into her until I'm balls deep. So tight, baby. I yank her head back so I have access to her tits and grab them, squeezing forcefully. Such a pretty slut for me. So open, hot, and ready. Whose whore are you, Kat? Yours, she pants.
Your whore. He shoves four fingers down her throat while he fucks her ass.
Jesus.
Then he tells her to put her fingers in his, so she does.
In his what, Charlotte?
In his butt. And this makes him come.
Four fingers in his butt?
I don't know. That's what my notes say. So let's go with yes, four fingers in his butt.
God, wow.
He's adventurous.
And then they go back to the cabin and soak up their marital bliss. The end.
Wow. What a story.
So, Riley, how many red pepper emojis do you give this one?
I don't know. Honestly, not my fave. I'll give it 3.
Okay. That's fair.
3. It was fine. It's just not my type of, like, story.
Yeah, that's fair. Do you think Heath is sexy?
No, not really.
I don't either.
He gives me the ick. In the beginning, I was like, he can't be that bad. Like, he'll be fine.
18-year-old Heath, I think, is sexy, but not...
Yeah, like Jenna said, he gives me the ick.
Yeah. What happened to him? We'll never know.
How did he know he liked four fingers in his butthole? We don't know.
I don't know. I'm not entirely convinced that he did get four fingers in his butthole, but that's what my notes said, so... Would you trade places with Kat?
No.
Immediate no.
It sounds like a terrible time.
She's just getting essayed left and right by multiple people.
And it doesn't sound like any of the men in her life, like, really like her.
No. The way I would literally move to, like, Louisiana and, like, start over fresh with a fake name and everything, like, I would just leave.
Yeah,
you have money. You can do that. All right, so next week we're telling Riley all about Gothicana by Runix. And we're going to have her look at the cover and give us her best guess on what it might be about.
Okay. I have no fucking clue. So the cover's like black and white and it's like a big fancy gate and it says a tale of dark romance. So I think it's going to be dark. I think they're not going to be like full human people. I feel like there's going to be some sort of magic maybe. And maybe this is going to be like a school for magic people. Something like that. And but there's going to be something bad, something sinister going on around there. And these people, they're going to be like in love. There's going to be this boy, this girl, they're going to be like fucking or whatever. But maybe the man's going to be part of the sinister thing, or maybe they have to like fight it together, figure out what's going on. But yeah, that's my guess.
You did pretty good.
My guesses are getting worse and worse.
No, this one was pretty good.
Okay.
All right. Well, if you liked this episode, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe.
Follow us on Instagram at @SmutUpAndListenPodcast and on TikTok at @SmutUpAndListen.
Tell your friends, but not your mom. And we'll see you later, you horny little rats.
Bye.
All right. Well, if you liked this episode, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe.
Follow us on Instagram at @SmutUpAndListenPodcast and on TikTok at @SmutUpAndListen.
Tell your friends, but not your mom. And we'll see you later, you horny little rats.
Bye.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.